this real life?
Hey, real life podcast listeners. Even if you are alone in your English learning, know that today, right now, in your earbuds, you are joined by thousands of English learners all around the world searching to do the same thing you are. If you want to know more about Real Life English or this podcast, then check out our website at reallifebh.com.
Oh yeah, what's up, real lifers? This is Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, effective, and convenient way to learn English. So, listen to this podcast while you are stuck in traffic, ironing your clothes, feeding your cat, or cleaning between your toes. So, I'm here today with my co-host, a man whose shoes tie themselves, Justin Murray.
Hey guys, great to be here again.
That's right.
We are,
no problems. We are again without Trevor. Trevor, I guess we'll be back next week. I think we said that last week though.
I think he got kidnapped in a Brazilian favela, in a Brazilian ghetto.
What does kidnapped mean?
Kidnap is when criminals, they take you, they steal you, and they ask for ransom.
Yeah. What's a ransom?
Ransom is when they say, $10,000 and I will give you your child back.
Okay. Trevor's not my child.
Okay. Well, hopefully they don't ask us for $10,000 though.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess if they ask for $10,000, we won't be seeing Trevor again.
I'll be the new host.
Okay. So what's all the news with you, Justin? You've just been out. What were you doing just now?
I was taking my cat, Potala, to the pet grooming place.
Okay.
So that's where they cut the pet's hair, because Potala has her fur has dreadlocks.
First of all, what's fur?
Fur is the cat's hair, an animal's hair.
Uh-huh, okay.
So.
And what are dreadlocks?
Dreadlocks, like Bob Marley and like the Rasta, you know, the reggae people or the...
Uh-huh.
How would you describe that? Like your hair is like...
A lot of hair is joined together and make a thicker hair, piece of hair.
So Chad listens to so much... Bob Marley and reggae that our cat started to get dreadlocks.
Yeah, our cat has become Rastafarian.
Yes.
Well, not for long if she's getting a haircut, right?
Yeah, she has lots of fleas too.
What are fleas?
Fleas are those little bugs that cats and dogs and other animals have on their skin, in their fur.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been scratching herself everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
Poor thing. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about today, a lot to teach you today, so let's kick it off with the news. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. So Justin, what's new, pussycat? What is some of the news in the real life world?
Yeah, so we've been organizing the party, and we've been inviting people around the world to start their own real life English party.
Yeah.
The last podcast was a call to action. And I wrote an article about this, about the history of real life English and how you can do this. And so we're looking for inspired leaders, passionate English learners who want to give back.
And I believe we already have some feedback. Some people have emailed us and shown their interest. And we already have some possible locations for the real life English party.
Yeah, we've been corresponding with these people, and some people, they seem really interested. Other people, they write you, but I don't know, it's a process to find out who's really going to do this.
Okay.
So. But first of all, we know that Trevor's in Rio, Ethan is in Barcelona, Spain. They're getting ready. We have a date as well. What is the date?
I think it's the 19th.
September 19th.
Is it September the 19th?
That's for Trevor in Rio?
Yep.
What about in Barcelona?
I think Ethan hasn't committed 100%, but he's going to try to do the first party on the 19th as well, I believe.
He's been networking and collaborating with Aprende Inglés Sila in Barcelona. She's a blogger, really great blog. If you should check it out. They've been looking for a place together, and he's already made a lot of contacts and made a lot of progress with this, so we're expecting big things. But as far as other locations, we have Alexandria, Egypt, possibly. somebody in Melbourne, Australia that seems really excited.
Australia, there you go. Yeah. My homeland.
Somebody in Surakarta, Indonesia, possibly. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly.
It's Sukatra.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there's an A there. I'm pretty sure people pronounce it Sukatra. Anyway, whatever.
São Paulo, some people, and some people in Salvador as well.
These are all places in Brazil.
Yeah. And a few people in Mexico and Morocco as well. So we're just trying to identify who's the most ready to do this and, mm-hmm. and the most passionate.
Okay.
And also we know somebody in Turkey who might be interested.
Excellent. So if you are in any of those countries or cities,
send us an email. Let us know.
Yeah. Or stay tuned because you may be having a real life English party in your city soon.
Yeah, but the feedback has been awesome, and thank you for everybody who's written us and shown their interest.
Okay, so let's move on to some other news here. We have a new Facebook administrator.
Yeah, this guy, we thought he was an administrator for a long time, we just didn't realize. Yeah. We had never really promoted him, but
yeah.
Max Ahumada.
Uh-huh. And we've mentioned him several times in this podcast. He's a very proactive member in our Facebook community. He knows a lot of people there. He shares a lot of awesome stuff. He's just posted a really great question.
So what I wrote in the congratulations message on Real Life English, I said, Max not only speaks amazing English with a mind-boggling repertoire of vocab and slang, he also works as a translator for us amidst his adventures around Latin America, and he's an amazing contributor to the value we all benefit from in this learning community.
Yeah, excellent. So thanks a lot, Max, for helping us out for this long time that you've been helping us. And we just thought you were already an administrator. Sorry, man. Okay, and another news in regards to the Facebook community. There is another quotes competition, which was started by Laura. Laura, again, is another administrator from the Facebook group, and this is the third quotes competition. So if you feel creative and want to come up with a quote that you have actually created, you can't copy one.
So here's a quote. Get inspired, listen to your heart, and put those words down on paper. By Justin Murray.
There you go. So yeah, if you just want to play around with the language a little bit, try to be inspirational or give some of your inspiration in words, just write it down on the quotes competition. We're going to link that to this podcast show notes.
Also, I recommend maybe if you've written poetry or if you've ever had eloquent moments in writing, go back and look at those. You can mm-hmm. quote yourself.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so that just about does it for the news. Let's move on to the shout outs. You know you make me wanna. I believe we have another 5-star iTunes review.
We love those 5-star reviews.
That's right. Justin, you wanna share with us what this person has said?
Well, this is El Boba from Brazil. The best podcast ever. Keep it up, guys. Completely addictive. Oh yeah.
She said, oh yeah. But still. It's not exactly like the oh yeah. Remember, oh yeah is a w w w. She said o w w, which sounds a little bit more sexual. It's like oh yeah compared to oh yeah. But cool. Thanks a lot for that 5-star review. That really does help us rank in iTunes. And the more reviews we get, the more people that are going to actually listen and see this podcast.
And plus, you get your name on here.
Yeah, if it's a good enough review.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's about it for the shout-outs for today. Let's move straight into the question. I need somebody help, not just anybody. Okay, so I have a question today, which is actually, again, something that many of my students ask me, and most of the time when they ask me this question, I just pull up an article which Justin has written, and the question is, is it correct to use the word wanna? Wanna as in, it's like a abbreviated form of want to, I wanna go. And this is probably the same question if I was gonna say these words like gonna, have to, and this kind of language.
Gotta.
Gotta. So what is your opinion about that, Mr. Murray?
I'm really quite strong in my opinion about this. I believe that a lot of people learn incorrectly in schools. They tell you not to use this in formal situations. They tell you not to use this in writing ever. But the only time that you can't use this is in formal writing. Mm-hmm. So if you watch TV, if you listen to music, if even like formal interviews on TV, you see people use this. Gonna, wanna, gotta.
So let's just quickly explain maybe the three most common contractions that we use like this. So we mentioned wanna, which means I want to. What else do we have, Justin?
Gonna, which is going to in the future. Going to in the future, like I'm going to
have lunch.
Exactly.
So you'd say I'm gonna have lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one?
Gotta.
Gotta. What's gotta?
Like I've got to.
Okay. So what's that used for?
Something you need to do.
Okay.
I have to.
Okay, it's like saying
I've got to. I need to. I've gotta. And okay. Then we shorten it again and say I gotta.
Okay. Cool. So back to the actual question. When can I kinda use this? You said I use this all the time. You know, I never say I have got to. You know, this is just what we do in English. We just cut the words down. It's kind of like all the words blend into one word. I gotta go. I always say that. I wanna have lunch.
So this is very common. People would not look at you bad for saying this. Mm-hmm. I would not use this on like a standardized test, like a certificate test, because they might judge you, because there is kind of a strict policy against this. And
you're talking about speaking, right?
Yeah. But you can use this informal writing in the real world. If you watch TV, like I was watching a Steve Jobs interview the other day, and he used this in a financial interview on a formal program.
Okay.
And he was saying gotta, gonna, mm-hmm. wanna. A lot of people from the traditional approach believe that the language should follow grammar, but really grammar tries to map the language is changing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This is how we speak in the United States, and this is how kids learn to speak.
Mm-hmm. This is how we speak in Australia too. So, yeah, I think this is even good. It kind of helps your pronunciation. It's how we really speak. It makes you sound more fluent, more natural. So, go ahead and use these contractions. We're gonna link an article which Justin wrote, kind of explaining most of these and just giving a little bit of a methodology about how to use them, when to use them, and how they can help your English.
It'll definitely help you sound more fluent. You gotta use them. And
nice.
I think you'll enjoy it. You'll understand TV a lot better too.
Perfect. Okay, so that does it for the question. Let's move on to the expressions. So today, all the expressions are related to people's character. Okay, let me just quickly read all five of them. They are average Joe, a class act, good for nothing, cold as ice, and a crybaby. Okay, so the first one, an average Joe. What is an average Joe, Justin? Do you use that in the United States?
Yeah, we use that. There's even a movie called Average Joe, right?
I think so, yeah.
Isn't it Vince Vaughn?
Yeah, no, that's Dodgeball. But I think the team in the movie are called the Average Joes.
Okay, well, I got that from the expression they did.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like a normal guy. It's just a guy that you would think of as not having like any extraordinary characteristics, maybe mediocrity.
Yeah, very mediocre kind of person.
But people use it like, yeah, your average Joe. Mm-hmm. Would say this. Your average Joe is like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not negative, necessarily.
It's just like a normal person. Nothing extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we can use this to describe someone. Like, if I said, oh, you know, Justin, he's just your average Joe. He,
eats acai every day.
That's not your average Joe. But if I said he was the average Joe, he likes to go out sometimes, he listens to this music, whatever. Rice and beans for lunch. That's a Brazilian average Joe.
Or you can say, you know what? He's not your average Joe.
Mm-hmm.
He likes a different type of music.
Mm-hmm.
He likes different type of food. He only drinks fine wine.
Yeah, there you go. That's someone who's not the average Joe. So the next expression.
Class act.
Okay, class act. Repeat that again in American English.
Class act.
And Australian English, class act.
Class act. Is it act or act?
Act.
Okay.
But the difference is a class, as opposed to American class. And a class act would probably be the opposite of an average Joe. A class act is someone who is very, someone who likes things that are luxurious, and he's, maybe if it's related to an actor or something like this, someone who's famous, it means he's a perfect for that role, or he's a very classy kind of person.
So I think of class act as somebody who is an example.
Okay.
A lot of times. So if we're talking nice about somebody, you know, somebody who's a model for something, that guy's a class act. He's somebody who does right, he has integrity, he does a good job with that.
Maybe so, Max is a class act?
Definitely. I would definitely use class act in the, when talking about Max, in that, because it's exactly kind of what we were saying earlier. He's a class act. Mm-hmm. Somebody who represents the best of a certain thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's someone who learns English, but he doesn't just learn it like an average Joe. He learns it, he goes more than that. He learns about the slang, the colloquial expressions. He travels around and he uses it, and he tries to apply everything that he learned. That's a class act English learner.
And I think there's a sense of the person being selfless, not being selfish.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between the two? Selfish and selfless?
Selfless is when you don't think about yourself, you think more about others.
Mm-hmm.
And selfish is when you only think about yourself.
Perfect. Okay, so that is a class act. The next expression we're going to talk about is a good for nothing. A good for nothing. So let me just quickly explain the structure of this. This is actually kind of like a phrase. I could say he is good for nothing. But now this has changed and we have started using this as a noun. I can say that guy is a good for nothing. And what does that mean? For someone is a, it's kind of self-explanatory, right?
It means they're not good for anything.
Exactly. So what would a typical good for nothing do?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't give. It's a selfish person probably.
Yeah.
And somebody who, you look at that person and you don't see talent, you don't see contribution.
Yeah, they're not giving anything to anyone, they're not giving any value. So a typical good for nothing, maybe at your workplace, someone that you work with would be a person who arrives late, they don't really work, they just slack off the whole day.
What does slack off mean?
So to slack off means to just do nothing. If you're at work and you're slacking off, you're not even working. You're just lazing around doing nothing.
So Chad used Barney Gumble as an example.
Uh-huh. Is that his name, Barney Gumble? His last name is Gumble?
I think so.
Okay. I thought that was the guy from Flintstones.
Actually, you're right.
But it might be the same name. I can't remember. But he's the guy.
It's not Barney Gumble. It's Barney.
Whatever.
But so maybe Homer? At his job in The Simpsons, he's probably good for nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything, really.
Yeah, he's always just sleeping and eating donuts. He's a good for nothing. Cool.
And I think Meru is a good for nothing.
Meru, your cat.
Yeah.
But he's pretty good. He kind of walks, you know, he gives people some love, you know?
Can you hear him? He's meowing right now.
Yeah, he's a little bit needy.
What does needy mean?
Needy is when someone always needs attention.
I think I'm going to write an article about Meru, by the way.
About your cat.
Well, cat expressions.
Perfect, yeah. You could even write a little bit about the story of Meru. Meru has a very heroic story, traumatic maybe for him.
Yeah.
He already's meowing.
He learned three languages?
Yeah, our cat speaks three languages, amazing. Okay, let's move on to the next expression. The next one is
cold as ice.
Cold as ice. What does that mean, Justin? And how do you use it in reference to a person?
Well, cold as ice is a person who doesn't show emotion, doesn't show feeling, or doesn't connect emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So cold as ice would be a negative. expression to use to someone. So an example of cold as ice could be if a man and a woman, they break up, or maybe the woman dumps the man.
What does dump mean?
Dump is another way to say that that person ended the relationship.
It's sort of a negative term.
Yeah, it's a negative term.
Like, you probably wouldn't use that with somebody you care about unless you're cold as ice.
Exactly. So to be cold as ice in a breakup, to finish a relationship, would be a person who just doesn't care about that other person's feelings and just says, hey, I don't like you anymore, I'll see you later, I'm going to go and find someone else. That's a very cold as ice move to make. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Yeah. So there you go, cold as ice. Don't confuse that with when you're relating to a beer. I like my beer to be as cold as ice. But that's a positive thing. If you come to the next Real Life English party, hopefully you can have some beers that are as cold as ice. But you can't be cold as ice at the party.
Yeah. Let's hope not.
Yeah. All right, and the last one that we're going to teach you today is a crybaby. A crybaby. I think your cat is a little bit of a crybaby.
He cries a lot, you're right. He whines.
He whines. What does whine mean?
Whine is to complain.
Mm-hmm.
Whine, whine, whine.
Yeah, it's like complaining, but it's like very repetitive and always continuing to complain over and over again.
So for example, in maybe sports, and I know in basketball, like a crybaby is somebody who's always whining and crying to the ref.
Mm-hmm.
The ref is the person who judges the game, who watches over to make sure that there are no fouls. Mm.
Ref is short for referee.
Yeah, but for kids, a child who cries a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a literal crybaby.
Yeah, that's where the expression comes from, I guess. So, there you have it. The 5 expressions related to people's character. Okay, so now let's move on to tips, tricks, and or funny joke section. Okay, so today's tip is a website called GameZone. The URL, you can find this at www.english-online.org.uk/games. But we are going to give you the link in the show notes. But let me just explain what you can find here. This is a online free game website. And you can find a number of games related to English learning. One of the games I was just looking at this the other day is related to grammar, and it's called The Grammar of Doom. You know, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? So they've kind of made a little grammar game about it. It's more like a fill-in-the-blanks kind of game, but they talk about a lot of grammar points. They talk about irregular verbs, different verb conjugations. They test you with vocabulary, and you have to pass the different levels by answering these questions.
It seems really cool.
Yeah. There's also another game that I was looking at on the same website. It's called the Restaurant Game. And the Restaurant Game is, for example, it asks you a question. You are a waiter in a restaurant. And the question is, what do you have to serve this customer? And the customer has some requests, like maybe the customer is a vegetarian. So you have to find the most suitable dish for that person.
What does suitable mean?
Suitable means something that combines with that person, something that is appropriate for that person. And that's just an example of the two games, but there's many more. There's a big game, fishing. I guess you learn a lot of vocabulary with that. They have games related to animals, you know, word building your vocabulary. And it's just kind of a fun way, if you have a spare 10, 15, 20 minutes, just play some games and practice your English at the same time.
Yeah, have fun learning English. There's no better way, right?
That's it. Awesome. Okay, so that's the tip for today. Don't forget, we're going to give you the link to that on the show notes. So I'm sure you will really like it. And let's move on to the joke, which is a very cultural thing. I obviously, this comes from the United States. These are Chuck Norris jokes.
I think they're facts, actually.
They're facts.
Yeah,
okay.
Because they're not jokes, they're facts.
So it's real. This is real. Who is Chuck Norris, and Why do we care about these Chuck Norris facts?
Chuck Norris, Walker, Texas Ranger, because he's just heroic. He's like a god, almost.
I actually saw a movie, I think it's Enter the Dragon, where he fights Bruce Lee and loses.
That must be... He was acting, probably.
Yeah, he was just acting, yeah.
There's no way he could lose.
No. So Chuck Norris is a god, you're saying?
Yeah, these are just jokes or exaggerations of a heroic American TV show character.
Okay.
They've actually made these jokes into Jack Bauer jokes as well. Okay. Jack Bauer from 24,
okay,
the TV show.
I've even heard some about Vin Diesel as well.
So these are jokes that are being applied to other actors as well, who are so heroic that they become godlike.
Yeah, but I think with Chuck Norris, it's a little bit different because he's never been a really good actor. You know, he's never been a really famous actor. He's always been more of a B-grade movie.
So. Yeah, but these jokes probably made him more famous.
Exactly.
Because some guy thought that Chuck Norris was funny, cheesy.
He's very cheesy. What does cheesy mean?
Cheesy is like this. It's just bad taste a little bit. So this is probably what's so funny about it. Not the fact that the exaggeration is real or that anybody actually believes this. It's just the humor of taking like a B-grade actor who is so cheesy in all of his acting.
Yeah, and all of his movies are very exaggerated. Like he'll you know, kick someone and you can see the foot doesn't even touch the person's face, but the person goes flying away. So that's probably why these jokes are so much funnier as well, because he's just an exaggerated actor too. What's your favorite Chuck Norris fact?
Did you know Chuck Norris's tears can cure cancer?
No, I didn't.
Too bad he's never cried.
There you go. I have some here. Chuck Norris doesn't call the wrong number. You answer the wrong phone.
Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice.
Nice.
The boogeyman. What does the boogeyman mean?
The boogeyman is a mythical monster that lives in children's closets.
The boogeyman checks his closet for Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants.
What does to stare something down mean?
To stare something down is when you look at something very intensively and you don't blink, you don't look at anything else. It's a way of intimidating someone.
So he stares something down until? He stares the books down until?
Until he gets the information he wants.
Chuck Norris doesn't tell time. He decides what time it is.
Okay. We're going to put a link to a website that has a list of 50 Chuck Norris jokes, Chuck Norris facts, sorry.
So I used to work at a hotel, an interesting story. I used to work at a hotel in Colorado, and Mel Gibson's children went to our school.
Okay.
Mel Gibson's children went to University of Colorado, where I went to school. And so I was working valet parking at the luxury hotel.
Mm-hmm. What's valet parking exactly?
It's when you park nice cars. You park the cars of the people that stay at the hotel.
Okay.
And Mel Gibson was around, and we exchanged Chuck Norris jokes.
Oh, really? Nice. How long ago was that?
That was like 5 years ago, I think.
Oh, awesome. So you know Mel Gibson.
We're friends, actually. We bonded over Chuck Norris.
Cool. There you go. Awesome. All right, guys. So that just about does it for today. Today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We are going to play you out with a song by Foreigner, and it is called As Cold As Ice. Oh, yeah. So if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to know more about Real Life English, we have a mailing list where you can sign up, and I will personally send you 10 free podcasts with transcripts. So you can not only listen to us talking about interesting English learning facts, you can read along as we speak. Really good for your listening comprehension. So, thanks a lot, guys. You will be hearing from us next week, as per usual. Have a great week. We look forward to hearing from you.
Take care, guys.
Catch you later.